Hey guys, and welcome back to Alarmed. I'm Davey.
And I'm Leonard.
And we want to say hi. How's everyone doing? Hope everyone had an amazing Thanksgiving. Was your food delicious? I hope so.
Right.
Because my Thanksgiving spread was pretty amazing.
Okay. I ate hella pie.
Ate hella pie. Thank you to my aunt who provided an amazing meal, so that was good. Since we just got through the holiday of thanks, we just want to say that we are so thankful for all of you that listen every week and look forward to every episode that we release. It means the world to us, and we promise that there are some big plans coming your way.
Definitely, definitely.
So, as always, thank you for the support. We're getting into December, and we have plans for you, so look forward to some holiday horror. Ooh.
Ho, ho, ho. Leave your dead in the snow.
A murder, murder, murder.
Crime, crime, crime.
Stabbing all the people. I'm going to come up with some creative things to say next month.
Yo.
Jingle guns, shooting all the way. Oh, God. Oh, my God. That was funny.
That is hilarious.
Back to this episode. Right. We're still in Thanksgiving. Let's chill out. So, as always, make sure you guys follow us on Instagram at Alarmed Podcast, Twitter at Alarmed Podcast, and then also be on the lookout for the new Facebook group. Mm-hmm. You can also email us at alarmpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us any suggestions, or if you just want to say hey. Our DMs are also always open if you just want to talk.
Suggest
cases, or if you just don't feel comfortable like sharing any personal stories or connections to any cases that we share, and you don't want people to know who you are, you can send those to us and we can definitely make you anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we definitely want to keep interacting with you guys. You guys are amazing. You know that you can listen to us right here on Spotify, or if you're listening to us on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast, or wherever you guys are listening to us. Please also make sure you guys go rate and review on Apple Podcast. We want to keep doing this for a long time, or however long, until we get tired of it. I personally don't see that happening, but I can't speak for other people.
I'm not tired of it.
I don't think I can be.
Yes.
We want to keep doing with this, so we want to be able to be heard by other people, and get people joining the Alarmers. You guys are dubbed the Alarmers, if you haven't already figured that out.
Alarmers.
Yeah. So, let's get right into it. So, to wrap up November, I mentioned in our last episode that we're doing like a Wyoming double feature sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, this case is actually a case that I actually think about all the time. Since I heard about it, I think about it all the time, just because it is so close to home. I mean, I mentioned last episode, I'm from Wyoming.
Right.
So, I had requested, actually, another podcast to cover this case.
Mm-hmm.
They never did it, but it's fine. I won't say names, please, but it's fine.
All week.
So, this is the missing person case of Chance Engelbert. So, here we go. So Chance Engelbert was born on December 3rd of 1993. He was born in Burdock, South Dakota, on his family's ranch, and he grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
While he was growing up, he obtained the hobby of being a bareback rider, which is an event in the rodeo,
mm-hmm.
which I believe they're just riding on the horse with no saddle. Yeah. So he was extremely talented, and to the point he was offered a bareback rider scholarship for Laramie County Community College in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Wow, I did not know that they offer scholarships for stuff like that.
In Wyoming, yes.
Oh, okay.
I went to school there.
Oh, okay.
Laramie County Community College.
Okay, cool. I was wondering what the peace sign was for.
I went there. Wasn't there for very long, but I went there.
Still there.
Yeah, they have their own like little arena and everything, and their ag, and all of that. It's a big deal. So, he did go on to earn his degree in diesel mechanics and welding. So, after college, he married his wife, Bailey, in October of 2018, and they moved and have lived in Moorcroft, Wyoming. And in May of 2019, his son, Banks, was born.
Okay.
So, after the 4th of July weekend, he was set to start a new job with a propane company because in 2019, there was a major layoff of all of the mines. So, a little like geography. So Moorcroft is actually about, I would say 30 minutes either. I don't know if it's east or west, but 30 minutes from Gillette.
Okay.
Gillette.
Good old Gillette. The place I will never visit.
Yeah. So, Gillette is known for its mining. It is the mining capital of the world.
Okay.
So, or not of the world, of the country.
Yeah.
So, at that point in 2019, there was a big layoff. Like 600 plus employees had lost their jobs. But, like I said, he was about to start a new job at a propane company. So, leading up to his disappearance, Chance and his family had made a trip to Gearing, Nebraska to visit his wife's grandparents. On July 6th, 2019, everything was going to change. On that day, Chance was out golfing with some of Bailey's family members. And according to the accounts made by Bailey, Chance was getting upset over a misunderstanding. There are no reports on what that misunderstanding was, what he was upset about. But he did call Bailey to have her pick him up, and then he also told her that he wanted to go home. If I am being told that I needed to go pick Levi up and he wanted to go home, I would think that we just needed to go to wherever we're staying.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what she did. She started driving back to her grandparents' house, but Chance got even more upset. He got out of the car and walked away from the house, and from there he never returned. This case is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. So Chance was last seen walking down a street that was a couple miles from his in-law's house at around 8 p.m. And then, according to phone records, Chance had called several different friends and family to get a ride, but was able to get one because of the distance from his home in Moorcroft. So the distance from Gearing, Nebraska, and where he currently was, and then his home in Moorcroft was about 220 miles.
Mm-hmm.
3-hour drive. So, yeah, none of his friends or family was going to be like, no.
Right.
Like, I'm 3 and a half hours away from you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So calls and texts from Chance's phone went unanswered, and the last thing that came across from Chance was a text at 9:08 p.m. The text itself made no sense because all it was were numbers and emojis. The ping came off of a tower located west of Scotts Bluffs, Nebraska, near County Road 19, near Riverview Golf Course. Now, I don't know if that's the same golf course he was at when he was getting upset, but that's just where the ping came off of from a cell tower. So, his mother noted that Chance never used emojis, so she felt it was unlikely someone else. It was likely someone else had the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is surveillance footage of Chance walking through an intersection at around 10 p.m.
It's weird because I don't know. I feel like if somebody that I was with just up and left and they were upset, I think I won't follow them.
We'll get into that, how she kind of handled the situation.
Yeah.
So with Chance's disappearance, there were multiple searches across 17 different agencies. There were hundreds of volunteers. There were divers for the North Platte River. There were cadaver dogs, drones, horseback searchers, and there were even hundreds of tips, but nothing came of those tips. So Bailey had spoken with police, and they actually did something on Dateline for this case. She stated, quote, "When he gets mad, he'll walk to cool down. But I didn't think he'd go far. He just kept walking until I couldn't see him. I didn't think he was serious."
it goes like this. Okay, you can, that can be your stance, like me not thinking that the person is serious. But me personally, I feel, unless this is like a normal thing that just happens a lot, the further you get into a point where I feel like I can't see you,
I'm coming after your fucking ass. Just the other night, I could see him. Yeah. Levi was trying to walk away from me.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not walking away from me while you're upset, first of all. Second of all, it's cold. Third of all, it's dark. And fourth of all, I don't trust people in Greeley.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Thank you, bitch ass.
Thanks, bitch ass.
Literally.
Oh, wait for that, guys.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, I get it to an extent.
Yeah.
I'd be okay if he, like, say they were at her grandparents' house. Or, like, say they were in a well-lit, like, area. I don't know. Like, sometimes I'm getting personal. When I get into fights with my significant other, mm-hmm. and it gets heated, he'll just go out the door and he'll go take a walk around mm-hmm. the neighborhood. I don't feel bad about that, but I would start to get worried if after some time he wasn't returning.
Yeah, and my thing is this.
And Nebraska
is nothing.
There's nothing. It's not like this, where there's stuff nearby.
Places, phones.
It's open land.
Yeah, and if he would have told her, like, this is the thing, like, I don't want to put too much blame on her, but it's the difference. It's like, he just walked off, and you seen him continuously go. He didn't, like, say, hey, I'm going to walk here, and I'll be back. I just need to cool down. He didn't give you, like, a location.
Oh, no.
You know? So that way, if you're worried, you're like, at least I have a place I can go first to know that, hey, this is where he said he was going to be.
Yep. So, from there, Bailey did go out looking for her husband, but she couldn't find him. And then the last contact that Bailey had with Chance was 7:46 p.m. He told her that he was walking south and that he had contacted friends. And then he turned around and said he was walking north towards Torrington. So, like, he was going to come back.
Yeah.
So, at around 9 p.m., a severe thunderstorm swept through the area, and Bailey had hoped Chance had taken shelter in, like, a nearby, like, bar or building. Mm-hmm. She also stated at this point, quote, I still wasn't that worried. I figured he'd come slinking in late that night, but he didn't. And when I woke up the next morning and he wasn't there, I knew it was bad. I would not have been able to fucking sleep. I would not have been able to just go to bed and know that my significant other is out there somewhere walking around in a vast fucking state in a thunderstorm.
Yeah. That's the part that I mean. Like, you hoping that even seeing, I feel like I'm picking on the wife too much at this point, but it's certain questions. Because you're saying, like, well, I'm hoping that he stopped and got shelter at a bar. Okay, if that was my thought process, I think I would probably try to call the bars around in the area and see if they have a person named that in the bar. You know?
There wasn't, I felt like, a whole lot of initiative coming from her. And like I said, I could see it from both sides.
Yeah. That's why I'm really trying to make it clear that I don't want to pick on the wife. But just certain things, decisions.
So, the police reported that the thunderstorm that did happen was heavy and it was cold. They believe that Chance might have caught hypothermia and that he may have slipped into a river or stream. That was a theory that the Gearing police told the family to accept. In a statement given by Chance's mother, Dawn, she stated, quote, he was a smart kid and he wouldn't have been by the river, wouldn't have gotten near the river. He grew up near the Cheyenne River. Mm-hmm. He would have known to respect it.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. So yeah, if he knew that it was fucking raining, of course he's not going to go near a fucking body of water in the grass. It gets muddy. You could slip. I believe what she's saying here, that I feel like he was smarter than that. He grew up on a ranch. He did all of these outdoor activities. Mm-hmm. I believe what she has to say with that. And then Chance's wife doesn't believe that he would just get up and just, like, leave his newborn. Like, his baby was 2 months old at this point.
And it's, like, just disappear without a choice.
So, in fact, he was actually, like, he was very excited that he was going to have a baby. And his wife and family believed that there was foul play. Like, someone did something to him. And, you know, of course, they're always urging people to come forward. If you know anything, please say anything. So, actually, come November 5th of this year, so just a couple weeks ago, remains were found in a Nebraska lake, and as of this day, they're still waiting on DNA results. Since then, Bailey has stopped doing interviews because her family has received death threats. Her family was looked at in the beginning all over fresh...
As suspects.
People of interest.
Yeah.
They were looked at the beginning because of fresh concrete that was being poured. But they saw that security footage. He was walking in a completely different direction. Granted, no, you can't see if anybody pulls up after that. So...
And wasn't he mad at her dad?
He was mad at various family members. So I don't know if he was necessarily mad at her dad. So that was quickly debunked, but has since caused a feud between the families. Bailey has stopped contact with Dawn, which meant she has not seen her grandson. Dawn hasn't seen her grandson.
That's fucked up.
I feel like at this point they needed to be like a unit to bring him home. And now they're divided. And then Bailey has gone on to do nursing school and taking care of her child because she felt that's what Chance wanted her to do, was to continue living life. Yeah.
Huh. I feel like, I don't know if that's him. I feel like it's a possibility. I don't know. I don't know if the DNA results will say that that's him. I don't know. A part of me is hoping that he is not. I mean, I guess I can see valid points in all of the theories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he would want to just leave his 2 month child like that and just up and leave.
Yeah.
But if there is like a disconnect with like the family, then there are things that could build up to you wanting to do that, like him losing his job and starting somewhere else. You know, it could have been a pay cut. It could have been anything. I can believe that it could be foul play, but I also could believe that foul play could be coming from the family.
Mm-hmm. So, I was also reading that... He wouldn't, he walked into something, maybe. She doesn't believe her son walked into something, but doesn't believe that Chance, who was an avid swimmer, a bareback rodeo rider, good enough to land a college scholarship, would have fallen into the river, injured himself en route. Like, she just doesn't think that happened. Again, it's fueled heated debate and speculation by many on social media, which has worked to divide both families, including Dawn's communication with Bailey and her grandson, which has since been broken down in the ensuing months since he's been gone. So, what we know now is that there's nothing new, but Chance Engelbert has still been missing for 2 years. He was last seen wearing a short-sleeved Wrangler shirt, Wrangler jeans, a belt with an NRCA buckle, rubber boots, and a black and white trucker cap.
I need to see what people look like.
There's also a Facebook that you can go to and you can search Help Find Chance Engelbert. And then I will also link the Facebook group in the description of this episode so y'all can go take a look at that.
Is Engelbert?
Engelbert. Engelbert. Let me see.
Is that him?
That's like a young picture of him.
Is this him with the baby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were also trying to tie the fact that that had something to do with like drinking and drugs like that, but it doesn't like it just doesn't. I don't think so. I don't think he had been drinking. I mean, it doesn't say that he was or wasn't. They were just at a golf course.
Yeah, this problem started at the golf course. So I mean, unless I know a lot of nice like golf club houses have like bars and stuff like that, but I don't know.
So, yeah, that's not much right now. Again, this case isn't touched on a whole lot. It's not very well known. There's a lot of articles.
I could barely find any pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, so there's a lot of articles of, like, the situation and everything that everything that's been reported on so far. And again, it's been 2 years since he's gone missing. This was something that, because I had said that his family believes that there was foul play, his grandmother, quote, said, "In my mind, somebody has done something to him and somebody knows what's been done to him and someone has hidden him very well. There's got to be somebody out there that does know." And then, of course, they're just begging for him to be able to come home. But, yeah, it's a sad situation for sure. If anybody in Wyoming, keep a good, like, lookout. If we have any listeners of the surrounding states, he is Caucasian. He is 5'9" with a medium build. He has brown sunlit in hair and hazel eyes, and like I said, he was last seen wearing a short sleeve button down Wrangler shirt, blue Wrangler jeans, a belt with an NRC buckle, Roper boots, and a black and white trucker cap. Anyone with information on the disappearance of Chance is asked to contact the anonymous tip line at 724-466-4673. Tips can be called into Crime Stoppers at 1-800-422-1494. Now, don't just go and using those and prank calling them, please. Hoping none of you would do that, but for our international listeners.
Yeah, that's trash.
Don't do that.
People who make those stories about having tips just because they want to feel important, that is trash. Think about the person who died and think about their family members, people who are actually trying to find justice for what happened. So please don't do that.
Yep. So like I said, I will link the Facebook group in the description of this episode. You guys can go take a look at that. And then, yeah, just kind of be on the lookout. He deserves to be reunited alive. And if he has passed away, he deserves to be put to rest with his family. So, yeah, that is the missing person case of Chance Engelbert.
That's really sad. It's crazy how people vanish without a trace. I'm over here going through some posts regarding the matter.
What are you seeing?
A lot of people feel like the family has something to do with it.
Like her family or his family?
Her family. Bailey, they're putting her out there. They're talking about the fact that, I don't know what interview it was, but that she giggled a couple of times. She didn't really seem sad. It's what people are saying. Me personally, I laugh a lot. And I do things where, especially like intense situations, I do like a nervous laugh. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how I react in a situation where I like lost an actual spouse. And people are also saying, bringing up the fact that she asked for a death certificate only 2 to 3 days after he went missing. So, but you know, these are comments. So I already in my mind thought that it was sketchy with the family, but I don't know. That's kind of insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay.
People are trying to make excuses as far as like the death certificate thing, because she was only 20, and she isn't a criminal mastermind. But
yeah,
I think being 20, you're old enough to probably, you would want to give a person a chance to come back. Assuming that it's the death.
Yeah. Wow. So, all right. Well, yep, that is the case of Chance. What? I was kind of just like looking through everything. But I guess there was a former state senator, Lindy DeSanto, who's been ordered not to contact the wife of a missing Wyoming man after a judge ruled her that she was stalking the woman. And so it appears there exists a clear and present danger of further stalking or serious adverse consequences to Bailey Engelbert, a Crook County, Wyoming judge wrote in a May 2020 temporary protection order. So, yeah, they put out a freaking stalking protection order against the wife from this woman.
You think she has, like, information?
Maybe or she just wants to know more, and she's, I don't know, taking it too far? DeSanto constitutes stalking under Wyoming law. The judge wrote the following month in a document granting a protection order lasting until June. The judge said DeSanto must stop talking, surveilling, and trying to contact Bailey and her son. She must also stay away from Bailey's home and workplace. And then, I'm under a court order to not speak on certain topics I previously posted on. It's a 1-year order, and I was told I'd be thrown in jail if anything further is stated or recorded. Those posts include a photo of DeSanto with the phrase hashtag silence over her mouth. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I guess she was like filming her house. Why do people have to be that way?
And people also said something in the comments talking about, she said the wife, Bailey, said that they never fought. But then you had family members saying how bad they fought. Like how they never like had, I guess, like altercations within their relationship.
Uh-huh.
And then you had like other family members saying like, oh no, that's not true.
Who freaking knows?
Yeah, only person who knows what happened at this point is Chance.
Is Chance, yeah. So, I'll post all of the Facebook group, and then, you know, feel free to check out if you want to do a little bit more information. I felt like there was a lot of like hearsay, and I just didn't want to get into all of that. So, yeah. So we will see you guys next week. Hope you guys have a wonderful week, and then get ready for some holiday horror. Murder.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye. If we're in a relationship. relationship and you see me walking off in the dark in Nebraska or some other rural area, and you don't follow after me, I'm alarmed because you don't care.